today we are meeting to deal with the report of the traditional affairs. You will recall, colleagues, we have already dealt with some of the key traditional affairs matters during the preliminary BRRR briefing of 18 October 2020, where we discussed the department's quarterly performance information up to the 31st of March 2020. Among the issues noted during the meeting was the widespread unhappiness among traditional leaders in respect of the lack of clarity on the place and role of the institution of traditional leadership in the district development model. There was a clear misunderstanding of the district development model concept, which was indicative of inadequate consultation. We also experienced that during our recent oversight in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. The traditional leaders we met and interacted with were very strong on this one. Reading the foreword to the annual report, Deputy Minister Bapela, the minister states that the institution of traditional leadership is a key partner in the implementation of the district development model. However, the reality on the ground does not reflect this sense of partnership, as many traditional leaders feel alienated from the district development model. This includes the leadership of the National House of Traditional Leaders, which the minister envisages playing the role of support and oversight for the district development model. In our meeting of the 18th of October, we further noted that the tools of trade for traditional leadership to enable them to participate effectively in the business of government remain a perennial issue, especially now during this time of COVID-19, when virtual meetings are the new normal. There was still much work to be done to bridge the rural-urban digital divide. Noting emanating from the sector's endeavor was also a contributing negatively to this. The performance information presented in the annual report is not remarkably different from the performance information considered during our meeting of the 18th of October. The only significant difference is that the department is now presenting the audited performance information, which ascertains that the Department of Traditional Affairs report is financially unqualified with no emphasis of matter. This maintains the standard that the Department of Traditional Affairs has set in the previous 3 financial years, which is commendable. Our previous engagement with the department recently, the committee members have on several occasions expressed the need to have a more discussion on the work of the Department of Traditional Affairs, in particular the work of the National House of Traditional Leaders, which is a sub-program of the Department of Traditional Affairs under Institutional Support and Coordination Program. This is the reason why we also have an agenda item dedicated to discussing the work of the National House of Traditional Leaders. Such a discussion is crucial as the committee reinvigorates its oversight role over the institution of traditional leadership in order to reaffirm its role and place in cooperative government. I just want to specially thank Nkosi Mahlangu and the entire leadership of the National House of Traditional Leadership. During our oversight, he personally and the other colleagues joined us in the oversight in KZN, Gauteng, and we want to appreciate the National House of Traditional Leadership led by your good self, Ndabezi Tengkosimasolangu, for you being there as and when we were getting sensitive and information, and you've been very useful because at some point you were able to also provide answers where in the department itself was not there, the policy department, to respond to certain issues. We want to thank you, Inkosi Matlangu, and the entire collective in this committee. With this, the Deputy Minister Rafaela to introduce the report, the annual report, then I know you then later hand over to the DG to do the actual presentation. Over to you, DM Rafaela.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Also to all honorable members of the Portfolio Committee and to Lindababu Ndabezitha Nkosimahlangu, the Chair of the National House of Traditional Leaders, and Mama Mhlawuli, the Nkosikazi Mama Mhlawuli, the Deputy Chair of the House, all officials led by the DG here of DTA. Good morning to everybody. The Department of Traditional Affairs has presented a presentation on the annual report of the department for the 2019-2020 financial year. The annual report, which provides information on the financial performance and on predetermined objectives, has already been tabled in Parliament. I would like to announce that the department has once again, as the chair you have alluded to receive the clean audit for the year under review, which is something worth celebrating. Let me also pass my condolences on behalf of the department on the passing of Mr. Kimi Magwetu, the outgoing Auditor General of South Africa. As you know, that his work through the collective of the Auditor General of South Africa has been so thorough that was able to stand firm on issues of clean audits, performance, and ensuring accountability, but also the level of how the municipalities have been performing. I think that matters have been sitting before you. Magwetu was appointed on the 1st of December 2013 as the Auditor General of South Africa for a period of 7 years. Prior to that, he served as the Deputy General of AXA, which empowers citizens to hold the custodians of public resources accountable. May he still rest in peace and his family be comforted as he is going to be buried this week. As we celebrate this clean audit, we remain seriously concerned about the budgetary constraints facing the department at the brink of major milestones facing the department with regard to the anticipated commencement and election of the Traditional and Quiescent Leadership Act of 2019 and the customary initiatives before finalization this week. Together we will be meeting with the Quiescent representatives on the 22nd of November 2020 to address issues that have been raised as representatives who have been camping at the union building since last year. So we'll be engaging them to see if this piece of legislation is not addressing some of the fundamental issues that they are raising, and see if we could not persuade them really to end the campaigning at the union building. There is also a need to mobilize financial resources to implement these pieces of legislation to enhance the mandate of the department. As government, we have not officially pronounced on permitting the initiation as yet. Cabinet meeting of the 30th September decided that the provinces and traditional leaders should be responsible for the initiation in their respective communities. The department, through the Minister of Culture, has written letters to the premiers, the MECs of culture, the National House of Traditional Leaders, and Contra Lesser, that government is still in consultation to consider the matter of initiation. The process currently of guiding the process of regulating initiations discussions are still underway. The majority of provinces have indicated that they will not continue with the initiation this season. They will continue suspending it in the 2020. It is only the Eastern Cape that has indicated that they would like to the bench to be lifted under Section 38 of the regulations. The Minister of Culture will announce and gazette once the consultations are concluded with the premiers, the houses, and the coronavirus command council. However, Chairperson, as the disturbing is in the media when Contradef has already issued statements to say with or without government endorsement, they will continue with the initiation. And then already in the Eastern Cape, there are a number of deaths that had occurred, and yet the Gazette is still not yet firm to say in those incidences what we do. So until the Gazette is in place, either prohibiting completely or allowing with particular specific conditions, unfortunately there are those who are proceeding without any permission, and therefore they are disregarding what is happening in the country. And Eastern Cape is bailing in as far as the infections are concerned. We are worried with the situation of the defiance by some who are just continuing and disregarding the situation in the country. Chair, as I conclude the presentation of the former the DG also to present a comprehensive response of the issues which were raised by the department, by the portfolio committee in October, which responds to some of the issues that are going to be part of the second part of the meeting, where the National House of Traditional Leaders will also be presenting on a report. We think those issues as raised comprehensively will then also guide the discussion going into that part of the meeting. But that will, if you permit, Chairperson, will be guided by you. But we are ready to present comprehensively around the issues of the land summit, where are we, quite a number of issues, the DDM matter, the initiation itself, and then other issues that were raised by the portfolio committee members, which we feel it will help in bringing information and the status quo of where matters are as we discuss the report by the National House of Traditional Leaders. Thank you, Chair, and then through you, obviously, the DG will then be presenting those if you allow the second, but the first one, definitely the DG is ready. Even the second one, he is. Thank you, Chairperson.
DG, can you focus on the matters that are part of the report? I think other matters, I'm afraid, then we can, then if we do that, we are going to then take time for the meeting in the evening, then we won't be productive, because I only see that's why it's only two members of the House that are in our midst. So let's focus on the issue that has got to deal with your annual report. The other matters then can be dealt with in the evening. Yes. I also see the Queen Komo has joined us as well. Then we can proceed. Egypt?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, and all the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Good morning to the Deputy Minister, Deputy the Honorable Babela, the Chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders, Kos Mahlangu, the Deputy Chair of the National House of Traditional Leaders, Kos Gazma Mhlaume, my colleagues who are assistant deputy DGs are here, CFO, our head of HR is here, as well as the head of the office of the DG. Good morning. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm just going to check if the secretariat is able to assist with sharing the presentation on the screen. This is the presentation on the annual report of the Department of Traditional Affairs for 2019-2020. And as the chairperson indicated, a lot of the information contained in the presentation was already shared with the committee when we met in October on the 18th. So the performance information hasn't changed from the last presentation we made, except that we then added other aspects that relate to the audit outcomes of the department. So if we could just go to the next slide, please. And in that slide, it just shows the overview, the outline of the presentation, that it is in three parts. Part A talks to performance information. Part B talks to financial performance and audit outcome. And then the last part, just the recommendations that we're making to the committee. So let's just move to here. So this one just summarizes what we presented to the committee already on the 18th. They're just taken from the strategic plan and the strategic and the annual report as it is, showing the nine strategic objectives of the department. If you go to the next slide, slide six, it then just, the one before that just shows a summary of the achievements of targets per program. And it shows that there were two targets that were not achieved. If you go to the next slide, it's that information just shown in the pie chart, just showing that there are two targets that were not achieved as presented to the committee in October. In the next slide, then, what we do is we then touch on those that were achieved, and this information has already been reported, so I won't go into it in detail. So that was program, that was administration, that's administration. The next one is research policy and legislation. It just shows the targets that we had captured in our plan to be that has been achieved as reported in the meeting of the 18th. Institutional support and coordination, we follow the same approach here. Just shows the targets that we had for the year 1920, and that they have been achieved. Then, if you go to the next slide, that's where now we begin to look at the two that were not achieved. And as indicated, this is the work around the traditional leadership summit that we were planning to host, and we indicate that. In December, there was a resolution by Cabinet that this work should be led by the Department of Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Reform, and that we will then support that process, because this is fundamentally about a land issue. But there was also a decision that before the land summit, there should be visits that are undertaken to other countries in the continent to learn from their experiences and to benchmark when it comes to things such as the land administration, tenure and recorder systems, and so on. So during that time, we had Uganda being visited, we had Botswana being visited. The visits took place in February and March, which was right at the end of the financial year already. So based on that, then it was not possible to proceed with the with the summit. But of course, coupled with that, then I think there's work that is being led within the Interministerial Committee on Land Reform, led by the Deputy President, and aligned to that, the three Deputy Ministers, Deputy Minister Babela, Deputy Minister Squacha from Rural Development and Land Reform, and Deputy Minister John Jeffries from Justice, are leading the team in taking that work forward and then reporting back to the IMC on land reform. So it has not been dropped completely, but it was just that it couldn't be achieved within the 1920 financial year. The second one there, it was actually linked to the first, in that the plan was that once you have the land summit, there will be a set of resolutions from the land summit that they will be converted into a program of action, that program of action will be coordinated and monitored. But since there was no land summit hosted, the program of action could also not be done. So those are the two targets, honorable members, that were not achieved and the reasons for non-achievement. In the next slide, it then just provide more targets as achieved. You see those, continuing with that information on slide 12. Slide 12 also just continue with those that were achieved, including the work of the National House of Traditional Leaders. The committee will be engaging more on the work of the House after this presentation. And on the next slide, just showing that information in terms of program performance indicators. So this has been presented already as well. Next slide. Just in terms of a pie chart there of the program performance indicators, this has been presented as well. Next slide. The next slide just goes deeper into the program performance indicators per program, so just showing all those that were achieved. That's slide 15. If you go to slide 16, it just also shows the details there of the work that was done and what was achieved. Slide 17, looking at the program research, policy and legislation, the work that was achieved there. And slide 18, going into institutional support and coordination. It's on slide 17 is the research, policy and legislation, and then slide 18 is institutional support and coordination, just showing once again those that were achieved. And that is continued on slide 19, still on the program institutional support and coordination, and slide 20 as well, institutional support and coordination. And then the slide 21 talks about the work of the National House of Traditional Leaders and the work that the House was going to do, showing that they were achieving those targets. Slide 22 continues with that work of the House, details of which will also be part of the discussions after this presentation with the National House. Slide 23 continues that work of the National House. So on slide 24, we just try to pull everything together to show the overall achievement, the two targets that were not achieved, but we just include the bottom as well, information on comparison to the previous financial years in terms of the number, percentage of targets that were achieved, 2016-17 up to 2019-2020, just for comparative purposes. That then takes us to part B, which deals with financial performance. And if you go to the next slide, you see the summary of the appropriation. This again is the shared showing the what the overall allocation was, what the total expenditure was, what the underspending was, what we do in the next slide to just indicate the reasons for that underspending, because the underspending was primarily on compensation of employees' budget, and we indicate that as we moved into the sixth administration, there was correspondence from DPSA saying, because there was also a process of reorganizing government departments with the expectation that some of them would be merged. Let's slow down on the filling of posts, because there might be people that might be need to be moved from one department to another as part of that national macro organization of government project. So that delayed the process of filling posts. But coupled with that also, we've always gone through this process of reserving money with the expectation that the TKLA will come into operation. And the TKLA, one of the requirements there is establishment of a commission in Kwazan matters, so which means we'll have to have the COE budgets to appoint commissioners who will serve in that commission. But given the delays in the announcement, the proclamation of the date on which the act comes into effect, that then meant that we were not able to go ahead and make those appointments. That's the explanation we give there. And then the next slide is just a summary of the audit outcome of the department. On the next slide, slide 28, which is in terms of performance information and annual financial statements. We've just also shown a comparison there from 2015-2016, that it was unqualified 2015-16, but from 16-17 to 19-20, the department has maintained the clean audit outcome. That's the presentation, Honourable Chairperson. The next slide, we just recommended for the committee to know the presentation and the outcome of the audit as done by the Auditor General. I've taken cue from your guidance, Chairperson, that the other issues will schedule a different slot to discuss them further. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
The initial arrangement with you was that, and because we've already dealt with the test, then instead of us calling all the members, including the provincial house, let them invite them for this session so that when we finish with you, because there isn't much, then we can deal with the issue of the work of the house and other matters. Remember, we had agreed we're going to meet with the house quarterly. So my concern is only that I've spoken to Inkosi Matlangu asking why is it only him and the deputy, Mam Mao. And then Inkosi Matlangu tells me that they were invited him to. So I don't get it. How should it happen? We can't be discussing the work of the National House with only the chair and the deputy. We wanted everybody to be on board on the net. But Nkosi Matlangu is committed that we try to ask some members to join. Depending on the number, we can proceed freely, which then we'll have to postpone the other part, wherein everybody will be present. So that's the issue on the matter, Deputy Minister Rapela. Then, and yes, because I could see on the attendance register that most of the members of the National House and the chairs and the deputies of the provincial houses were not in the meeting. So that's the issue that might quite near where I'm standing. I don't know if it's our own secretariat or on the part of the yourself, DPA, when you did the invitation, the secretary will be able to share that with us. But nevertheless, I think let's take the cue from what Nkosi Matlangu has said is going to be doing to coordinate these other senior traditional leaders, Amakosi, Nkosi, so that if then it happens, then the journalists will deal with it with the second part of the meeting. Colleagues, having said that, can I see colleagues who want to interact in the presentation?
Chair, can I just get some guidance from you? I agree with the point you made about ensuring that the traditional leaders are properly represented at the meeting. I'm not sure now if you want to satisfy that that there should be more of the traditional leaders. Should we then still proceed, or what are you suggesting, Chair? But I do agree with the point that you're making.
Yeah, and then this is also our oversight rule, because remember, we must try by all means to make our meetings as inclusive as possible.
Yes.
Then it makes our life very easier than when we do oversight, because they too are also involved. More so now, there's no cost to that event that people have to travel to Cape Town. We are on visual platforms. But then if the information is not given to them, maybe I want accountability. Shireen and the House Secretary, can you explain yourself what happened? And in particular, you, Shireen, you are the one that proposed that this must happen. So why are we only having the National House Chair and the National Deputy Chair. Where are the others?
Sorry, Chairperson, that was an oversight on my part. I only sent the invitation to the National House.
Colleagues, what did you propose we must do then? And at your mess, you can see now, this is where the mess went through.
Chairman, with your permission, may I just make one comment, please? You know, Chair, the opening remarks of Deputy Minister was very important, especially in relation to the Eastern Cape. And I mean, I'm sure we'll hear the, you know, further details to it. But that does indicate to me that there seems to be, you know, some communication or consultation problem. And you know, when we go and have these engagements with municipalities, we have 25 officials in the room from the one municipality. I just think, Chair, it would be very disrespectful for us to be dealing with the report on the National House of Traditional Leaders, and they themselves are not properly represented. It doesn't show the respect that we should be according to that
report. That's my point exactly, Honorable Hussein. You just kept saying it directly, so. That's the issue. And now there's this issue also that the Deputy Minister is raising to say it's defiant, especially in the Eastern Cape, because we wanted them themselves to answer themselves. How dare they do that? That is defiant. But also at the same time, then we'll have to hear what is the department doing, because regularly they have to be enforced and put in place to say whoever is found on the wrong side of the law, then must face the law, the mighty of the law. We're not hearing that as well. We allow people to just easily get away with murder. This is life of people that are affected. And the things that they do can also perpetuate the spread of this COVID-19 pandemic. December is coming, we are told there's a new surge that is coming under the circumstances. And we sort of message as government that people will do as they wish. These are some of the issues that I wanted to address, but I'm subjected. What do you propose must be done on a resolution?
Chair, as inconvenient as it may appear, I mean, I would also prefer that we have dealt with this annual report, but as inconvenient as it may appear, I would suggest, Chair, that we try.
Sorry,
Chair?
There's a 19-hour slot meeting.
Yeah, and we can maybe.
That really will make the secretary to make sure that they contact whoever and send everybody the link that they're supposed to get.
Chair.
I can hear you, Mpunza.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, we appreciate the annual report as premised and presented by both the Deputy Minister and the Deputy. In the event that we find that the representation of the traditional leadership is not up to what we have envisaged, how about that that this matter is taken to the 19-hour meeting? It is possible. We allow a space for both the department and the secretary to make sure that the collective of the traditional leaders is made available within the 19-hour period. That would be my suggestion.
Okay, let me hear the deputy chair and the chair of the National House their inputs on this one. Can I start with the deputy chair, Mama?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, Chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders, Nkosi Mahlangu. Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson. I do support that we get more traditional leadership. Especially, Chair, as we are talking about this issue of initiation, which is very critical. Today, my problem is Minister Mkhize talking about the state issue, the executive of the provincial house. And I was informed that they did meet with the leadership of government in Eastern Cape, and they did write something that must be communicated to NASNA on the same issue. Simply speaking, I'm a Khoswana. I'm so nervous by now on what is happening. I'm always communicating with my province. So I appreciate that we get more members, more traditional leaders at 19 hours. And I know my chairperson was also talking to me about this issue of initiation. But Mama, this is going to cause a lot of problems. Let's deal with it and other issues. Thank you, chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, the Deputy Minister Babela, my Deputy Chairperson, the esteemed members of this committee, DG and officials. I would also support that we move the meeting to the 19-hour meeting, where all of us will be present, and also to express our happiness that you want this to be as inclusive as it can be, because sometimes it's always good to present beautiful reports, but you find that on the ground the situation is completely different. And I think you'll be hearing first-hand responses from members in relation to issues that are affecting them. And I think this would also enhance the work that is being done by the committee. So, you know, we are highly, highly appreciative of this opportunity that we are given to try and help to change the situation in our rural communities. I think the issue of initiation is very, 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 very important. If we don't handle it well, I think we might see more problems than we normally see in other years. That's my fear. And we seem to be moving very slow. We seem not to be talking with government on this issue of initiation. I think we've been requesting meetings for a while now. We've written a letter. There has not been any response. Cabinet has met. We are not talking. And schools are closing in 2 months that is going to be happening. So like we all participate on the 19-hour meeting. Thank you.
Okay. So that's the feeling that on the issue of the house we can proceed to the 19-hour meeting. But then can we also, on the issue of the actual annual report, on the DTA report that has been presented, because I was raising it in relation to the other meeting that I was asked to say, let's call it good, then we must do it all of it during the day because there wasn't much. But then, under the circumstances, we agree that the meeting for 19 hours will need to proceed as it is. And the Inkosi Matlango has just put the issues that also must come strongly during the meeting in the evening. Under the circumstances, then, can we just quickly dispose, then this is going to be a very short meeting, Honorable Nelson. Dispose the matters that relate to the actual report as presented. The mindset being that so that we know when we meet in the evening, we don't even collapse these matters. So those are the issues. Can I see members who want to interact with the report? Because we've already dealt with that, but there are some issues that came that we couldn't raise because the report was not yet edited. Can I see a show of hands? That effect? If any? Members?
Yeah, I have just one comment to start, Chair.
Okay, two things.
Who is it? Chair?
Mkaliti?
Bumza. Bumza.
Bumza. Yeah, Chrome. Yes, can I plead with you? Let's not deal with the issues that has got to do with the house. Ne? We're only focusing on the annual report. If you do that, David, I'm going to stop you. Colleagues. So let's deal with the annual report. Yes. Honorable Lucen, comments?
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much. I will just limit the comments and just one question to the report itself. And let me say that I think that we must give credit for the number of targets that have been met, with the exception of those two in particular. But what I want to raise here is in relation to the issue around the funding for the National House of Traditional Leaders.
Mm.
And I would like to invite make a comment on it. Naturally, can agree on this portfolio committee that the role of traditional leaders in our country, across the country, is of utmost importance given the role that they've played historically in South Africa. It's our heritage. No amount of money can replace that. And it is unfortunate, in my view, Chair, that I think that over a period of time, and granted that there has been a lot of progress that have been made in giving recognition to the role that they've played and setting up the House of the National House of Traditional Leaders and so on, so I don't want to be unfair, but I do really think that as government, there has to be much more done in relation to the role that the National House of Traditional Leaders play. I'm encouraged by the comments around the Khoisan leadership, which I think is critical. It's a matter that's been long outstanding, and I think that there we must give credit for that, and the sooner we're able to get beyond that, the better it will be. But my concern is the funding that we've allocated to the National House of Traditional Leaders over a period of time. I was hopeful, Chairperson, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that we would have reached a stage where we would have been able to fund it to the extent that they play a much more significant role in our society. We all know when you look at some of the moral ills in our society, and we know the role that the traditional leaders can play in assisting us to resolve some of those moral issues in our country, it's invaluable. Politicians can't achieve these things on their own. You can't regulate conduct, through acts and bills. But what you can do is rely on the elders of our community, the traditional leaders who themselves have instilled a sense of values and principles in our communities. And the more we make an investment in that, the less investment we will have to make in taking preventative measures. So I wanted to just make that comment, Chairperson, and hear from Guillaume Papilla in respect of whether or not there is a genuine willingness from government side to try and make an even greater investment in the national income. I know that our funding is good, but notwithstanding that, we will always have funding problems in our country. It will always be there. We will never get to a stage where we'll say we've got more than enough money. But the political will must be there, and that we must be making a much greater investment. The second point I want to raise, Chairperson, is the study tour to Uganda and Botswana in respect of land. There are other examples in larger parts of Africa that have successfully, and whether or not they're making any attempts to cast the net much wider in respect of learning from other countries and how they dealt with it. Thank you very much, Chair. Those are the only two issues I wanted to raise, but I look forward to it. Thank you.
The next speaker is Honorable Mkalifi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I heard the cutoff. Please forgive me if I'm out of order. And I heard you very loud and clear to say that you are going to stop anyone who's going to raise things that is going to be processed at later today. Chair, I must also apologize for the later meeting. I don't think I'll be able to, but if I do have get time, I will join the meeting, Chairperson. But nevertheless, Chairperson, I wanted to make a follow-up on what was presented by the DG, on what Honorable Hussein is raising in terms of what was not achieved. Because the DG, when he started, he said, no, most of the things has been achieved, so the presentation is going to focus on what has not been achieved. So Honorable Hussein is raising the issue of the study tour, of which I wanted to know, I don't know if the DG covered, because I had a problem of connection. But since those two were not achieved, so what is the plan with the department? I know one of the reasons is that it's because of COVID-19. But I think, Chair, it's one of the most important aspects of the department mandate in terms of the land. And I think that Indaba that took place, or that was supposed to take place according to the program of the department. So we need to know, as the this portfolio committee, what is the plan, therefore, as a way forward. Also, what now is going to happen since those study tours didn't take place. That is one. And then, Chairperson, lastly, I just want to get from the department, you know, there was a reported case of alleged fraud relating to travel management services incurred during 2015-2016 financial year, but still under investigation. How much did the alleged fraud, I can't remember getting the report in regards to the case. Thank you very much, Chair. The other issues that I was interested in is the one that is going to be dealt with during the 19 hours meeting. Thanks very much, Chair.
Make sure that you, whatever you do, you join the meeting, the 19-hour meeting. Try that, whatever you do. Then let me get Honorable Nkuba.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to leadership of the traditional house, the DM, and honorable members. Chair, we firstly upfront commend the department for this clean audit, and do upfront indicate that it would be important for the department that to sustain this achievement of a clean audit. However, DG, we have reservation despite the advanced reasons for not achieving some of the targets. The economy of the traditional communities is a critical issue.
Now I know that the department, through the House of Traditional Leaders, is also running this program of green revolution in the traditional communities. When is then the department actually rolling out and resourcing this program so that indeed the land that is lying fallow in the traditional communities is actually put into use so that it assists particularly in achieving social cohesion and nation building at a local level? The issue of family box that is being piloted in the jurisdiction of Inkosi Mahlangu should also be rolled out. I know that it is somewhere also in the Eastern Cape in Bentane, that this matter should be rolled out in all areas so that our traditional communities, their socio-economic conditions is changed for the better. In this matter, I don't see it being prominent in the program and in this annual report that is being presented. That is why. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mkumza. Can I request Honorable Go to follow through?
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Deputy Minister, and greetings to all the traditional leadership and the officials within the department. My first question will be to the department that what specific intervention does the department envisage in respect of landless traditional leadership? Secondly, what are the factors informing the delays in the proclamation of the Traditional and Christian Leadership Act? Those were the only two questions that I wanted to ask. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Tom. Deputy Minister Babena, I want to check on what Honorable Mpumuza has just said. You've seen in other areas some traditional leadership are beneficiaries of the CWC program. I want to understand from you and the DG, including the DG of Peacock, on this matter to say, has this been programmed, be shared in all traditional leaders, or it depends on the particular traditional leader who happens to have knowledge, then they will benefit from the program, the CW program? Is there a structured way that you make sure that also members of the House, all traditional leadership benefit from this program, the so-called CW program? Because I know of a situation in the Eastern Cape wherein one traditional leader benefited from the CWP program. Or is it based on proximity, on who you are, then you qualify? Or some people will tell you this. What is the relationship? Because that's one thing that I realize we're not taking, because I should think the CWP program was going to assist if properly coordinated, and then it has national leadership also being involved on the list. I'm saying this bearing in mind that we are still going to get a decision, but I think this is the right forum where these matters must be asked and attended to. The other issue is with regard to the issue of the proclamation of the Traditional and Christian Leadership Act. Remember, we raised these issues the last time when we told this is built in the desk of the President and Deputy Minister. If you are on record saying that, then what are the factors now that are delaying the proclamation? Because since we got into office, we've been faced with this matter. I'm starting to get worried. I think we need to be told exactly what are these factors that inform the delays in the proclamation of the Traditional and Christian Leadership Act. So those are the issues that one wanted to get clarity from this. And the other issue that we're going to deal with is in the evening. Like you said, then there is defiance. Then there's regulations that are in place. I know The minister even issued a directive on the issue of circumcision schools. Then you find people studying what mechanism, what collaborative mechanism are there in place for you with the law enforcement agency so that whoever is found on the wrong side of the law, then must face the might of the law. There must be prosecution to that effect. You cannot afford to risk the lives of people based on greed or the love of the country. With everybody in this country, it's called an investment. That is responsible for the enforcement, but you find the users of the service of the same department being the one defined. What are we actually saying to the nation? So these are some of the issues that I want the team led by the DM to respond to. Over to you, DM.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I'll just take a few and then leave the rest to the DG. Let me agree with you, Chair, and the earlier comments by all other honorable members that there are these substantive issues that will go to the 7 o'clock meeting 19 hours this evening. And obviously, just responding to Honorable Hussein that I think he had raised quite a substantive matter, the role of traditional leaders as part of the heritage and the budget that goes to the National House, the budget of the DTA, the budget that supports the traditional leadership council so that they can be functional on the ground, the tools of trade and all those issues. We'll then package them as part of the comprehensive report that we'll then present in the evening as part of the discussion. And I'll also ask the DG if they can work out on also the memorandums of understandings that have been engaged with the 21 departments, whether they are alive, done or not yet. But then there are programs that other departments have initiated, like the rural safety strategy, where the Minister of Police had already engaged traditional leaders last week, where they need to incorporate their work and the function in the safety in the rural areas and fighting crime. And they've came up with very good proposals that will then be part of the role and the responsibility and functions of the traditional leader. Social cohesion and nation building, there's a program that is art and culture. We then find that there are these other activities that whilst we are responsible for the sector, they will then be in the memorandum of understanding because the budget and the functional budget is not with us, but it will be with those particular departments. I'm just giving an example on social cohesion and nation building programs. Arts and culture will then be running that particular budget, including heritage and the revival of the heritage sites and all sorts of things. The cultural heritage home affairs will also be having programs that they will then cooperate and collaborate with the traditional leaders with their own budget running towards that. Basically, they will work on those particular models so that people can then do take traditional leaders seriously, but the budgets are not in DTA. All those budgets are there with those particular department because the mandates and the functional mandate is in that department. So money follows functions. And I think that is the model that we have adopted in South Africa. So while there's little that is given to traditional affairs, which we'll still have to engage on the matter, but then there are other functions therefore that are engaged in that particular direction. Then the other issue then is on the agrarian revolution and the harvesting season and planting season that are coming. The CWP program, I think the DG will just give an elaboration on that one as to how far it has gone, what are the bottlenecks, what are the challenges that the traditional leaders also raised around it. There are areas where it has succeeded, and there are areas where it didn't succeed. And then also on the issue of some of the programs you see on the land under the custodianship of the traditional leaders will be programs by other departments such as agriculture. They will have some dedicated program for subsidy farming and supporting co-ops, and then people will go to the traditional leader and say, we have this particular partnership with the department, we're asking for land or leasing of the land or land to build on, and you understand that there are successful programs and projects that will be supported by the Agriculture Department. And there's also the Solidarity Fund that has now been given to the traditional leaders. I think in the evening meeting, Ngosi Mahlangu will also give, because there is a direct relationship with the Solidarity Fund. But it was presented to us as the minister and the department, and we supported the initiative. Some certain amount of money has been set aside, and they are at the level of implementation towards a planting season and so forth. And then there will then be partnerships that other traditional leaders will have closer access to people in Lotwari, which also provide certain support for that, and also in the private sector, where there's partnership with the private sector, which are also taking place. And you will see, therefore, that there's a lot of disparity. How close you are to the private sector, how close you are to certain departments that have the functional money, how close you are to other functions that makes traditional leaders to be successful in some, and so forth. And the last around this issue is those who have leased back the land after restitution to the very people who are using and the land productively. And then they, as a payment arrangement, that for every produce, actually the private sector came up with a model that is more encouraged traditional leaders to do. The owners of the land come together and either extra pay the household, and then the proceeds out of the produce they share, and then the rest goes to the market to make money. And every 5th of December, and then they get their dividends as households from the produce that would have gone to the market in addition to what was allocated to them on the basis of leasing a land, a hectare per family, to that model. So we just have to look at all these models and then begin to then work in a collective rather than individuals who will then go, others succeeding and others not succeeding. Then the last point then, Chair, that I want to respond to is the proclamation on the Cohesion Leadership Act. Yes, the matter was a query from one law firm representing certain NGOs who had wanted to say to the president, if you sign the law into a law, functioning law, we will take you to court unless you answer the following issues. And that then took a lot of legal consultations between the presidency, COGTA, and the law firm itself. And finally, after engaging our law firm, they came last week only to then say the issues raised by that law firm and the NGO are not problematic, they are not issues that can affect the president from proclaiming the law. We have since therefore dispensed the letter last week to the president to say we can proceed with the proclamation. The issues are therefore being explained in the following manner, and those explanations were given to that law firm, and we hope therefore that the presidency legal team are on the process of reading our law firm responses, and then hoping therefore that soon that signature will then go in so that the proclamation happens. But it took longer because of a period where there was a lockdown completely, and then since the lockdown easing of the regulations, work commenced, and then I think we now have responses that the president can sign the law. The law. And then the land summit, I think the DG has explained, and I just want to quantify. The land summit was supposed to be held this year. Under these regulations, obviously, it's not doable, it's not possible, even under level one. The process wanted to engage all traditional leaders. There are 882. And once you bring 882 people in the main center, you will already be violating what's in 50, not 800. In addition, I want to bring in the community's representatives that have been raising issues on Secretary of Tenure to be part so that we can hear that voice also and engage them towards the commonness of the issues. There are certain NGOs and research groups that the traditional leaders have agreed that they will want them to come in rather than shouting from the side. They also have to be included in that particular land summit. Then there will be officials from COGTA, there will be officials from land affairs, because the land is held in trust by the Department of Land Reform, and they will have to bring all that contingent and specialists in. We also want to bring experts into this land summit also to be part of. So the process is unfolding that probably sometime next year, with the easing of the regulations, if we are able to get the vaccine, and if the infections do not go high, the land summit is not being targeted for 2021. Now, the program of infection could not arise, which was the target of the department. So then say we are implementing on the following arising from the agreement of the land summit that did not take place. And I think that's the challenge that will remain a challenge, probably to review it, I'm not sure. But then that is where we are, and unfortunately, it was beyond the department, it was beyond everybody. However, the trips had taken place just before the lockdown. The trip to Botswana happened with the traditional leaders accompanying and officials from both departments of land reform and the COPTA, and also the trip to Uganda also took place. The only trip that got affected, which was supposed to be end of March, was the one that I was going to lead to Ghana. That could not happen because of the regulations until now, when the traveling was allowed, and we then took a decision that instead of going there, there will be those Zoom meetings with the delegations or the people that wanted to interview in Ghana, and the technical team led by officials is busy working on that particular issue, including the desktop work, and then they are formulating a final report that will be coming to the deputy ministers, myself, Squacha, and John Jeffrey, who have been assigned as the political head of guiding that process. And then once the report is ready, it will then go to the deputy president's task team, which includes all ministers that are dedicated to look at the issue of land and then other issues. And then once it has been processed there, we will then be engaging the sector itself at the other public meeting, like in all the provinces, and start consultations to say, this is the view of government based on the research, based on studies, based on our own situation, based on all plethora of laws that are governing that particular the communal land, and then the proposals that will then satisfy the settlement of the question and the issues raised in the land summit have been responded by this particular way. So therefore, the land summit therefore will then be sending over to sometime later next year, and I think that target in the report remains a standing target, unfortunately, but not achievable now as we record. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, DM Batena. Over to you, Digi. Digi?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think maybe just starting with the issue raised by the Honourable Hussein on the funding. This is a concern that we share as well, and it's a matter that we continue to raise annually whenever we work on our budget requests for the department, with the National House of Traditional Leaders being a sub-program budget-wise in the budget structure of the department. We have not been successful. I know that the House has also raised it very, very sharply, their dissatisfaction with the level of funding. What we have done in the interim is just to assist through violence internally, to make sure that where the budget of the House gets exhausted, then we see how we assist with the environment of funds here and there in other programs of the department to assist. But clearly, that is not a long-term solution, and therefore the matter remains a matter of concern for us as well. We will continue to raise it annually when we engage with the annual budgeting process, where we approach National Treasury for resourcing. But that's as far as we've been able to take it at this stage, unfortunately. I think the issues relating to what Honourable Mbumza has raised, I think
the Deputy Minister has addressed those threats. The question by the Honourable Klo on land acquisition. This is a challenge. This is a challenge that we are aware of, and this is part of the work that gets done in consultation with the relevant provinces, as well as the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. And it's not an easy one, but we've seen areas where provinces were able to assist. For example, there is a case we are aware of in the Free State, but where the Office of the Premier in the Free State stepped in and was able to secure land in consultation with the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, and they were able to then assign land to that particular community. So it gets dealt with through those kinds of consultative processes, but of course the challenge is that it's got financial implications as well. So the example we give in the Free State, the province was able to set aside an amount of money to assist in settling that community through land that was made available by government. So we continue to engage on it with counterparts in relevant provinces, as well as the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. The one on the TKLA and the delays, Honourable Pro, that question that you raised, Deputy Minister Babela has dealt with that. So I won't go into that. Perhaps just to add that among the list of things that the lawyers had raised at the time, one of the issues they raised was that there were gaps in the public participation processes that Parliament itself conducted on that piece of legislation. And they said there are weaknesses in the manner in which Parliament conducted the public participation processes. So which means that in addition to what Deputy Minister Abella has said about enlisting the services of senior counsel, we then also had to engage with the legal team in Parliament so that there is a complete record of the processes that Parliament followed before Parliament could adopt this piece of legislation and refer it to the President to assent to it. So it's just all those kinds of issues where when the President was ready to say, let it come into effect, you have this list of things that get raised to say, no, there are weaknesses here, there are problems here. If you dare go ahead, we take you to the Constitutional Court. The Honourable Chairperson has raised the question, which is correct. What more or less, there was a partnership opportunity that arose between the Institution of Traditional Leadership and the CWP, where certain funding was going to be made available, but the time available was very limited. So then the process started where we said, well, let's engage broadly with traditional communities on this issue, identify land that is available. Traditional leaders indeed responded quite positively, where a lot of land that could then be utilized for agricultural production was identified. And then the next step was then to look at the possibility of developing business plans in addition to other processes that require the testing of the soil where the land has been made available to check if that soil, what are the kinds of crops that soil would be suitable for example. But what then happened eventually is that because there was limited time, there was only a few traditional leaders that within that space were identified and they benefited from the program. The understanding was that was just a pilot and that then we'll be able to move beyond that and have much wider coverage in terms of the agricultural support through a partnership with CWP. So having learned lessons from that, we have said, and which is part of the work in our current APP, and our counterparts in DCOG also have that as a deliverable. We said that model didn't really work that well, in part because it didn't benefit as many as
can get X amount this year and then expect to get next year and expect to get the year after and so on and so on. Somehow there must be elements of sustainability that are built into it. So one of the targets that we have is the remodeling of the Agrarian Revolution program that we've been working on between ourselves and the National House. Colleagues in DCOG are also working on a remodeling of the CWP. Our teams are talking to each other because we're saying that it can continue the way it continued during that time that the Honorable Chairperson is referring to, because it didn't really have as much impact as it was anticipated. So I think the remodeled work that is coming from our side and the National House on the work that is coming from the side of our colleagues in DCOG, that will create a better foundation for the program to go forward. Obviously, in the interim, then is this other initiatives that the Deputy Minister has spoken about, partnerships with the Solidarity Fund and so on and so on. Those ones are continuing, and I'm sure in the evening when the discussion takes place, the House will be able to share a little bit more on those areas. Honourable Mkalipi raised the issue about what happened in 2016. In terms of alleged fraud, this is a matter that was raised at the time when the department and NISA, I think, and COCTA and DCOG were having a shared facility with a contractor travel agency. The contractor travel agency at the time was Travel with Flair. And there were allegations of fraud that were reported as part of the 2015-2016 report. The briefing that I got when I arrived was that the matter had been referred to the police as well, that it had been reported to the police. But the tricky part here has been that it's not necessarily about employees in DGA, but because it was a shared service between ourselves and DCOG and NISA, both the three institutions were required to take responsibility. So it was referred to the police for investigation. I know that we had a few meetings of the audit committee where we kept saying that the matter is still with the police, but with the understanding that its history lies in the shared arrangement, not so much about employees in DTA, but employees elsewhere. So Chairperson, I don't know what happened there. There was some disruption in the background.
Hello, DG?
Yes, Chairperson, sorry, there was a disruption in the background.
Who was
interfering? I don't know. I could just hear my phone. It's not in the office at the moment. But I think it might...
No, proceed then. Are you there?
Yes. So what we have done from our side at best is to say, because it's reported to the police, we keep following up with the police on how far they are. They gave us the name of the captain who's assigned this responsibility. All they said they needed from our side was an affidavit, which was provided. But the issue is, no expenses were paid out of the DTA budget. So the fraudulent part of it in terms of financial implications was not on the DTA budget. But because it was a shared agreement with the service provider, with the travel agency that we had, we were all required to do our part. So our internal audit is seized with this matter. They continue to cooperate with the South African police who are investigating to say, is there anything that has implications for DTA? But that's why there isn't any, because the money that is involved in that was not from the DTA budget, but but just because it was a shared service with the travel agent, it was picked up to say all the three departments should follow up on it. And certainly from our side, our internal audit keeps following up with SAPS just to say where are we. And even the last time they checked, it's been saying the investigation has not been concluded, the investigation has not been concluded. But we can certainly note the matter to make sure that we keep it on the table to keep the committee informed once the investigation has been concluded. Thanks, Chairperson.
So, is that all? No, any other person wants to respond? Okay. Do we have follow-up, colleagues?
Yes, Chair.
Prior to that, I'm a bit disperturbed this year, I must say that, with regard to the issue of the law, the act, the proclamation. Honestly, will you allow people to dangle a carrot to you to say we're going to do that? Because if there's something wrong, you want to tell us that the parliamentary processes were wrong. Every time and again when the bill is proclaimed and then it's passed by Parliament, when it's time for the President to sign the bill into law, then we'll have this issue. Is this where we are going to? Because there's an issue of separation of power. It's being said there isn't even water within this sixth Parliament. We've been told the bill is lying with the President. Last time the Deputy Minister said the President is about to sign. Now you need to go back where on law this thing has been defended. Because if there are people who have got the issues around the constitutionality of the bill, and then if the person has got issues, they have got every right to approach the court. Because the way it is, seemingly this law will never come into operation. The way it is now, because the way you're even responding, there are no timelines and a specific period when this matter is going to be resolved. But we still, as Parliament, continue to take that we've passed this law. That can't come into operation. I think it's a matter that's of concern for all of us. Honorable Mpumza, who else wants to follow up before Mpumza? You see me as the only one. Let's proceed.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Once more. Chair, I agree that the minister, the deputy minister, has actually responded, expanding in an expansive way towards my question regarding this issue of the land summit. But he has also actually informed us that there are 882 traditional leaders in the country. And the indication is that, despite that, we are a cosmopolitan society. In essence, we are a traditional society. Now, Honorable Hussein, we are a traditional society. Now, Chair, I raise a question around the question of Green Revolution. As a program within to drive social cohesion and nation building in the traditional communities. And my question was, to what extent is the department resourcing that particular program through institutes of traditional leadership so that the socio-economic being of those communities is actually dealt with? Chair, also, we understand that our spiritual and cultural heritage was the work to go for through domination and subjugation. Now, in this dispensation, is the period for cultural renewal. Then we seem the policy. To what extent is the culture of traditional communities so that it is in a point that way it is actually resuscitated, because at the next center of the being of those communities is their spiritual and cultural being. Thanks, Chair.
Over to you, DG, and then the Deputy Minister will wrap up.
question. I think there are two paths to it. One is on the Green Revolution, which I think in part has been dealt with by the responses by the Deputy Minister. But then there is a broader one that deals with research on culture with a view to ensure that the culture is protected and the culture is promoted and the culture is sustained. Well, I think from our side there, if we look at the report itself, there is a target that talks about a research agenda. So we have a research agenda where annually we identify a few areas that we are then going to conduct research on and come up with recommendations. Honorable Mbunza is asking whether the institution is adequately resourced for that purpose. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. That's why even the research agenda itself is limited. So if you look at the examples there, I mean we've had to do research with a bias towards the Quine Fund, especially given that there was a report by the Human Rights Commission saying that there must be a study that looks at stigmatization amongst the Quine Fund communities. So we had to do research around that to understand the communities better and the concerns that is being raised about stigmatization. There are other elements as well where our teams have had to interact, even travel to Namibia to look at Quine Fund communities there and our relationship with those who are in South Africa, and then also look at other areas in the country to understand the cultural practices of the aspects of culture. One of the cultural practices that relates to succession in royal families. So there are reports that get produced by the department that look at genealogies and succession rules amongst different royal families. There are a few reports that have been produced in this area. But of course, there is more. There is more that can be done. But we work on the basis of what the resources can permit, with the understanding that this work can be amplified by what gets done by other sister departments, such as the Department of Arts and Culture. We know, for example, that TensHelp has assisted in doing work around a dictionary on one of the Quine Fund languages and has worked with the Department of Basic Education to ensure that there is some piloting of the use of this language in some of the schools. So that also then helps amplify the work that we need to do in this area, with the understanding that we will not necessarily be able to do everything ourselves. So, but the issue of research remains firmly as part of our targets, and members would see even in the 2021 APP that the research agenda is still there. But as to the scope of coverage, we generally take one or two projects per annum, given the limited resources that we have. Thanks, Jefferson.
Mabela?
No, thank you, Chairperson. And do share your frustrations too, that there will always be groups in society that will always raise pertinent issues or substantive issues depending on how you look at them on any pieces of laws that comes out of parliament processes. And once these people raise their voice, we are a democracy that must also listen to those particular voices. And I think when the matter was raised with the president after signing the law, and then was just about to ascend it, and then the matter came in, and we were consulted to say, hey, there are issues that have been raised. We are not sure whether the president should continue to sign. That these matters must be looked at, and a list of those issues were then sent to the department. It's quite frustrating, I agree with you, because
then there will always be those active and alive groups in society that will raise this or that. And we're raised and an article to just process them, and until now when we're able then to get a final legal opinion that says there's nothing unwanting on the law proceeding to be the law. And therefore, we just hope, and we don't determine when the president signed, unfortunately, Chairperson, I can be in this portfolio committee and say, by this month or by this date, the president will have signed the law. We have complied with whatever other processes the minister did sign after me signing, having looked at the response comprehensively, and the letter to the president to assent to the law signed by the minister, having responded to the issues raised, did go out last week, early last week, and therefore we're just waiting like everybody else. And it's only the matter when there's a further delay that we can ask the minister to engage the president to say why is he no longer signing now that you've responded to all the issues. But we're all waiting for that signature for the law to come in. And I share the frustration. I too am very frustrated because we have a community of the question that is waiting on the site, wanting to know when is this recognition coming into effect, so that the processes of identifying the recognized leaders can then start, and so that they can be part of all indigenous groups in South Africa participating in a democracy, in the rebuilding, in the nation building, in the social cohesion of the nation. They are still on the site simply because they are those NGOs that did what they did. There are certain aspects that will empower the traditional leaders. Also, they are waiting in anticipation of this new law to really firm their role, as Honorable Hussein was saying. We need to continue ensuring, therefore, that this heritage and this institution is supported all the way. So the traditional consent bill was going to give us, including the dealing with Section 81 of the Structures Act, because there is a section in the law that is going to totally replace the entire Section 81 of the Structures Act that will frame the role and the participation of the traditional leaders at the council level. So, but obviously when these things do come, the president takes sensitivity on the matter. You'll always refer them, and he did, and then it took longer for those law firms to really process the matter, sanctify themselves, as they said, they had to consult with parliament, legal, and other processes that ought to be looked at based on all the number of the issues that they've raised. Yeah, so I don't know what to do with it, Chair, but I really sincerely when it comes to the issue of the Green Project and all other activities that goes with it, Honorable Bumza, the challenge with the department called GTA is just an administrative entity that ensures governance on the house and governance of the provincial houses, with working with the provinces, and also ensuring that there's support for traditional leaders in terms of tools of trade, but working with the provinces around that issue, and the provinces having to knock on the doors of their MECs for finances for a bigger slice that could then help us to support this particular sector. And in the priority of things, we get a thin slice, we don't get a better slice. And then you then have very good, wonderful programs that will arise from the house and houses. And then the departments are expected to support those programs. And more often, we'll find that the budget is as limiting. Including this one of the social cohesion, the budget sits in arts and culture. After designing it, we have to knock on the door of arts and culture and say, can we collaborate on this? Because they have the budget, running budget is there on all social cohesion matters. And little money will then be available on our side. Or sometimes we get told that, what are you putting on the table as GTA if we are to collaborate on this particular issue? And we need to find that the function of this is in another department. So, and therefore, the role of traditional leaders as custodians of our cultures, our traditions, and our rituals and all those aspects, you'll find therefore that it's not budgeted for in a very adequate way. And then you get told that those programs are already cultural activities in general. They are in arts and culture. Their budget, there's a budget that is running there, independent of the traditional leader. Most of the time is implemented without even consulting or working with the traditional leaders, except here and there. But all cultural activities are there. And yet, in the Constitution, we say they are the custodians of this. And obviously, the observance and the adherence of the tradition, customs, and religious and aspects, then it will be a budget that we receive. We pass it to the CRL, which is doing a very good work now in terms of beginning to ensure, therefore, these practices do not die. But obviously, the identification of those that are harmful have been exposed and so forth. So the budget will be in CRL, extending on its own and then doing this. The budget is injustice, and then whatever capacity, their role, their functioning, and the perfection of those traditional costs, the budget will be injustice. We just monitor to ensure, therefore, that those things let them. And I think it's just as is the situation, and probably when we deal with the sector later in the evening, in totality, quite a number of clearing matters will then come in, and probably some suggestions will arise from that discussion, so that we could then review the entire support and then review the entire institutionalization of the traditional leaders to give it more prominence and more effectiveness in a democratic South Africa. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you. I should think this brings us to the end of our meeting. Till mid at 19 hours. I want to thank the National House Chair and the DPP for being with us in this meeting, including the and the colleagues. We have been joined by a new committee assistant. Her name is Amanda Zindani. Mr. Martin is no longer with this committee. Maybe Amanda, can you just put your picture so that the colleagues can see you as I'm welcoming you to this committee? Amanda?
Morning.
Amanda. There she comes. That's our new community assistant. I think members, Terry will send you her contact details. We want to welcome you to the committee. We're looking forward to a fruitful working relationship with you. I hope you've been properly briefed that this is a committee when it comes to work. We are all united. We do work 24/7. And I believe you've been properly briefed. We want to welcome you to the committee as our new committee assistant. I hope you're going to enjoy your stay in this committee. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. The meeting then gets adjourned until we reconvene at 19 hours. Can I have time to attend to the meeting? I think the link has been sent to you. If I'm not mistaken, starting at 8.